Erev Tov Rabotai. Okay, so back to the Tuesday night Hashkafa Vad. So the tonight's monologue is dedicated to Josh Aziz, the new Chassan, and all the other fresh Chatanim and Kobe and yeah, Baruch Hashem, Shtabach Shemo. All right, so I want to talk about something that is, I think, relevant to everybody, but becomes even more relevant during Ben Hazmanim, which is that sometimes it would be very nice if everybody's families were on exactly the same level of super high, super dedicated, super machmir, or Ikar HaDin religious observance, like in yeshiva, and you know, and your household was a yeshivish household, and everybody was makpid on kala kevachamura, and everything was just peachy. That's in a utopic world, that's how it would look, and you come home and everything's like misudar, and you know, everything's, all the hechsherim are great, and all the kashering done is whew, and zmanim, and everything is mamash, exactly the way halacha should be. But if you don't live in a utopia, you know that that's very seldom the case. What usually ends up happening is that, Baruch Hashem, if you're in yeshiva, you are stark to a certain extent, sometimes very stark, sometimes moderately stark, sometimes a little stark, but you know, you're holding, and you're Mevakesh Hashem, and you're Ben Aliyah, and you're Ben Torah, and you want to do all the right things in order to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu the best way we can. And sometimes, because of the circumstances of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and the cards that we were dealt, not everybody around us necessarily shares the same passion, right? And that's okay. We don't control anybody, and it is what it is. And not only that, not only do they sometimes maybe not share the same passion for Yiddishkeit and, you know, observance of halakha that we do, sometimes they're even passionate the other way. Sometimes, I wouldn't say necessarily anti, but the things that you're passionate about, sometimes they're passionate the other way. And Ben Hazmanim is always a time to learn the tools about how not to rock the boat. It's very, very important, because these are things, a part of being a Ben Torah is realizing, I like to say this mashal a lot, is that approximately 85% of Shulchan Aruch deals with bidiavad situations. You know that? I did a survey once. 85% bidiavads. That means that bidiavads are part of Yiddishkeit. That means that even if it's not lechatchila, and even if it's not mitzvah min ha-mufchar, and even if it's not exactly, but there's a whole Shulchan Aruch about what do you do in situations that are not optimal. How do you deal with it? So sometimes it's clear, and sometimes we have to chart our own Shulchan Aruchs and know what to do and how to respond and how to deal with situations that are anything but optimal. Everybody's got such a family member. Everybody's got such a friend. Everybody's got such an acquaintance, or you know what I'm saying? You got to do. There's always that one guy or multiple guys at your seder that just don't care about shiurim of matzah and maror and about zmanim. And you know, like, there's always that one family member that's like, "Why are you being so fanatic about kashering?" You know what I'm saying? Don't. There's always that one person, and you have to deal with it. And there's always those situations where you are called upon to do things which are not necessarily the best behind Hashem, and you have to know, how do you deal with these things? So in life, there's the easy ones. There's the clearly mutar, which means you have to know the difference between Ikar HaDin and Chumrah. In order to know that, you have to learn halakha and or ask a shayla. Yes, that comes up. What happens if my mother doesn't want to kasher this way? What happens if my father, I don't know, buys a certain nechshir for the house that is not up to par? I'm giving like weird, outlandish examples, but they exist. You know what I'm saying? So there's the things that are clearly mutar, meaning ikar adin and above, even if it's not lachmir. There are things which are clearly asur. Like if your parents are telling you, you need to show up to such and such a wedding, such and such an event, and you must participate in the mixed dancing. Yes? Clearly asur. There's no, that's non-negotiable. I went for a very extreme, those happen too, by the way. Sometimes they're like, you need to show up to this event and look pretty. That's one. Versus you need to show up to this event and dance with your cousin's sister-in-law and hug her real tight. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? No, it's like sometimes parents will do that. And you have to, that's clearly asur, you know. Ish imo ve'aviv tirao ve'etcha betotai tishmoru digmana darshan shekulechem chayavim bichvodi. You know, I can't, you know, Abba Ima, I love you, but I can't. And then there's these gray areas. And there's a lot of gray areas. A lot. And you have to know. You have to be, you know, you have to have learned a lot of Torah and be mishamesh to the chachamim for a long time in order to be able to navigate through those gray areas. And you know, if it's not clear, so ask a shayla. Sometimes you got to draw the line. But it's important to realize that although you're coming out of yeshiva, you're sitting in a beis medrash where everybody here is committed to avodat Hashem. Everybody here cares. You know what I'm saying? Some more, some less, but everybody cares. That's why they're sitting in a beis medrash. That's why they're showing up to seder. That's why they're showing up to tefillot. Because people care to a certain extent. You will eventually, in your family life and your, you know, your acquaintances, you will be exposed to people who don't. So the shaila is, how do you prevent that from impacting your own avodat Hashem? Don't let them amalek you. Don't let them cool you off. You know, just because they don't care doesn't mean that you should stop. And just because you're in an environment of people who don't necessarily care or people who care less than you doesn't mean that you have to stoop. You have to look for ways to hold your own. You know, strength of conviction. Be strong, be confident in who you are and what you stand for and the values that you live for and promote, even in the face of people, even close people, even people that we love dearly, who don't necessarily. And it's not a stira. You know, maybe people on the other side, maybe these relatives or friends, whatever, maybe they'll think it's a stira. If you really love me, then you'll fill in the blank. That, by the way, there's a term for that. It's called manipulation. It's emotional manipulation, and it's disgusting. You don't do that. Don't pit HaKadosh Baruch Hu and my devotion to Him against you, against my parents, against my siblings, against my cousins, against my friends. It's not fair. Do you do that to them? If you really loved me, then you do. That's religious manipulation. You don't do that either. We don't twist people's arms into... Yeah, we don't do that. We're not the Sanhedrin. We're not tasked. Everybody's responsible for themselves. We try to be karev people, educate them, you know, expose them to the beauty of Torah mitzvot. But more than that, it's not, you know, it's not up to us. But the other way also not. Learn to be strong. Learn to be proud of who you are, confident. Abba, Ima, brother, sister, cousin, aunt, uncle, whoever, friend. This is who I am. I'm confident in my own skin. I love who I am. I love serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Makes me happy. Don't you see that? Don't you want me happy? This is it. Not like fake happiness. This makes me happy. Isn't that what every parent, sibling, friend, what, don't you want me to be happy? This is what does it. Torah, utfilah, and kiyuma mitzvot, and dikduk ba'alacha. That's what makes me happy. So why would you want to squander that? No, I did. Okay. I'm not forcing you. But you have to identify the mutar, identify the asur, and also identify the gray areas, and prepare accordingly. Before you go home for Ben Azmanim, think to yourself, what are the possible situations that I'm going to be exposed to that are going to rock my boat? Everybody's got them. Prepare for them. How am I going to respond? Respond like a mentero. Keep your calm. Don't lose it. Don't melt down. Don't forget, as a mentero, you're always on display. You are an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishtabach Shemo. Don't lose your cool. Ever. It's hard. Everybody loses their cool, but try not to. Come. Show them the beauty of the Torah. The composure of being a Ba'al Midot. Show them that. Show them the beauty. And Azmanim is a time to rub off on friends and family who may not be as exposed during this month. Show them what Torah does to a person. The words of Torah are like ish. It refines, fire melts, refines, cleanses, purifies, sanitizes. That's what the Torah does to a person. Bring that realization to them. There might be opposition. Might be hard. Hold your own. Be confident. Be respectful, but don't give up. This is the Torah we're talking about. This is the Kadosh Baruch Hu we're talking about. We all work for the same boss. It's non-negotiable. I like to say this a lot also. You can't give discounts to merchandise that's not yours. If it was my merchandise, if it was my Torah, my Judaism, whatever, go, party. It's not. I wouldn't have any rules. But it's not. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. B'shishtim e'bereshit. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Kedoshah, Torah Temet. And He guided us about what we can and cannot do, what makes Him happy, what gives Him nachat, and we're all working for the same boss. I can't necessarily control how you're going to serve Him, but I need to be on top of my game. Please don't get in my way. That's the rant. It wasn't really a rant, but it's true. Prepare yourselves. There will be situations. They come up all the time. By the way, you know, just between me and you, it happens even in the most yeshivish of households also. What do you think? This is only a thing for people who come from traditional Bali Tshuva, modern whatever homes? No, this happens in every home. There are clashes. There is opposition. You just, as a mature mentor, you have to know how to deal with it. That's what it is. Okay, floor is open. Yes, Yonatan.
Yes.
Yep. Non-controversial.
No promises. You want to like do like the spirit of the holiday in terms of like Dayenu? Are we able to get like aggressive or like?
Okay. Nobody knows what you're talking about. You're in a crowd that nobody knows what you're talking about.
Can someone like actually hit people in Dayenu, or you should be like more calm?
Nobody still knows what you're talking about.
Okay, Persians have a minhag that during Dayenu they like beat each other with clubs and stuff.
Leaks.
Not leaks. Clubs. Okay,
leech.
Belt.
Leech.
Something. Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure what that. I'm not even sure where that minhag came from. I'm not laughing at it, but why Dayenu? Why not any other part of the Haggadah, like when you're talking about the Makot or the Shiabud? Why Dayenu? Like what Shaykh is? I know. They have leaks. I've seen green shirts as a result. Like your shirts get green, like as a result. Like leaks, like green onions. They like hit each other with that. It starts with leaks and then it gets a little bit more violent as the night progresses. I don't know why, but.
As a rabbi Baltimore said, yeah. If you do it to your wife, it's school up for a bad marriage.
Yes, that is true. Somebody actually once came to the Stipler and asked for a segula on Motzai Shabbat for a good marriage. There's actually a segula that some bring down for a wife to fold her husband's talit on Motzai Shabbat for Shalom Bayit. So somebody asked the stipler for a segula for Shalom Bayit on Motzai Shabbat. So he says, segula l'Shalom Bayit, tishtof kelim. You know, wash dishes. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, I mean, just be normal about it. Every Edah has their own things. You know, by Moroccans, we wave the kiara over people's heads. By Bifilu, yeah, everybody. You never know kiara over your head? No? Huh? Yeah, that's a serious. Every Ada has their own things and stick to it. Whatever makes, whatever brings the Agadah to life, whatever, like the Baal Agadah says, Hayav Adam Leharot Atzmo, Kilu Hu Yatzah Min Yitzrayim, you have to. So whatever it is that, you know, try to keep it rated PG, you know what I'm saying? And whatever. And then, yeah, that's that. Okay, anybody else? Yes?
Can we go? Is it better? Assuming we're only going to be learning. Should we go to the mikveh on a Friday or learn? Like once a week?
Learn once a week or go to the mikveh once a week? So I would say for those who are learning once a week, definitely learn on a Friday. Yeah. For those who are learning every day, part of Kvod Shabbat is brought down by the Poskim is to be Tovel, Kvod Shabbat, for those who are Noheg. It's a tremendous thing. Take a few minutes. Go be Tovel. You take a shower. What about learning? Get dressed. Yeah, it's part of the mitzvah. Okay. Yeah, tried. It's not a chovah. It's not a chovah to go to anybody. Okay, it's part of Kvod Shabbat. A person's metahir, at least on a. And not only that, the Gemara says Chayav Adam Leter Atzmo Baregel. By Regel, it's even more chamur than by Shabbat before the Regalim.
How much time should one exert going to a mikveh?
How far? What are you doing? Laps? I don't know. What are you? What? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you go, you do your thing, dip five times, and get out. Like the Ben Ish Chai said. Yeah, the Ben Ish Chai says five tevilot. Each one has a different kavanah. But anyway, long story. Just do your thing, and get out. You know, don't. It's not, you know, people do all sorts of things and take all sorts of long times in there. That's not a thing. Do your thing, get dressed, get out. That's it. Yeah.
Wait, what's the thing
to do? No.
I went when I was in Hollywood. Yeah,
there are some Bahram that use public transportation. When they don't really need to, they can use the taxi or Uber. What does Rabbi think about that? They use public transportation.
I mean, it's cheaper. What do you mean? What's the shaila? Shmirat Einayim? Oh, okay. I mean, you know, Ubers or Lyfts or whatever, they're significantly more expensive than the bus and the subway. Yeah, not everybody can afford that all the time. If he can,
who would want to take public transportation?
Yeah, why would, if you can afford an Uber or Lyft, why would you take public transportation? I'm confused.
Rich wants to spend.
Then that's just cheap.
What?
That's just being cheap. I mean, the way you're setting it up, that sounds like just being cheap.
Yeah. Like me, I use public transportation.
Yes.
Like, how do we,
okay, so if you need to take on, if you need to go on a bus or on a subway, you go and you take a sefer or you look down or whatever it is, and you have to, the same way as you walk on the street, you have to be shomer at einayim and look down and whatever it is. During the winter, it's a little bit easier because people are naturally more dressed than in the summer. But whatever it is, you know, Maran Zichron Berachah used to take a bus also every day to the Bedin, to the Rabbanut, whatever. And the famous story with Maran Zichron Berachah, you may know it. Maran Zichron Berachah was sitting on a bus and he was learning, sitting. He always learned on the bus, and he sees from the corner of his eye. He didn't look. He sees a pregnant woman walk onto the bus, and he sees her standing. So he got up and moved away so she can sit down. And then he got off at the next stop, and you know somebody was this lady was calling him, and he was just engrossed in his learning. He didn't hear or whatever. And then he got home, and his wife walked in a few minutes later. His pregnant wife, Rabbanit Margalit, she's like, Ovadia lo shama'at alti? He's like, you didn't hear? He stood up for his, he didn't even know. He's like, I was calling you, I was screaming your name. He's like, lo shama'ati. He's like, that's how you're shomer at einayim. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, good.
Is there any name for Sfaradim to wear tchelet? Tzitzit?
I mean, the mitzvah of tchelet in the Torah wasn't only given to Sfaradim or Ashkenazim or Temanim, it was given to Am Yisrael. Now, there's tremendous controversy about what exactly is the authentic tchelet that the Torah meant. There's a lot of halachic literature about that, pro and con. The some tchelets were debunked, meaning some versions of what tchelet was that day was debunked by poskim and science and stuff like that. Some are very much probably it, which is what most people who wear tchelet today, the murex or hexaflex trunculus, the dye from that. Is there a downside to wearing it, possibly, especially if it's being done publicly? Gaon HaMitzchak in Shuta Rishon Etzion, Chelek Aleph, Siman Aleph discusses it. But he seems to say, even though it wasn't the Minhag of Maran Tachon Rechab, if a person wants to put it on his Talit Katan, he may. On his Talit Gadol, he says it's better not to, because Gdolei HaPoskim of, our Gdolei HaPoskim of Sfaradim didn't necessarily. Now there's plenty of Gdolei HaPoskim that do, did, and do. Everybody should ask the Rebbe and follow what the Rebbe do. I don't know about that. Yeah. Whatever. Hanistarot LaHashem Elokeinu. Yeah.
Over Chol HaMoed Pesach, you have those the families that go out, right? Obviously, we're supposed to spend more time learning and doing other things. But for a family that goes out, can someone go with them, you know, chaperone and do other things, or should prioritize sitting in Beit Midrash and learning?
So yes, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Betzah does say, and Moed Katan does say that Chol HaMoed was given for Torah learning. Hashem meant to give Chol HaMoed because people who work all year don't really have so much time to learn. So you gave them Chol HaMoed twice a year so that everybody, even working folks, can't work and they have time to pound. That's what it's for. And not only that, the Gemara says that some of the Amoraim said, I think it was Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, who said that if it was up to me, since we have Chol HaMoed and people aren't using it to learn anyway, I would just abolish Chol HaMoed. But that's what he says in the Yerushalmi. But at the end of the day, you know, families need it, children need it. Obviously, there needs to be time set aside for learning in the morning, in the evening, whatever. But if it's a good, kosher, wholesome trip or outing or whatever it is, and the family needs it, then that's part of Torah as well. Part of Torah is being attentive and sensitive to these things. Story once, I read this, Rav Dan Segal Shlita has a Pirush on Mesilat Yishanim. So he writes that once the Chazon Ish was learning with his nephew, Rav Chaim Greinemann, his nephew, was learning together, and they were learning outside on the porch, and they were sitting on a table. A breeze came and blew the tablecloth off the table. Now the Chazon Ish was in the middle of reading, or he was in the middle of learning. They're both learning together, and Rav Chaim Greinemann, the nephew, made like a motion, like he wanted to go pick up the tablecloth, like bend over and pick it up, but then he stopped. So the Chazon Ish realized. And he asked him, what's going on? You're about to bend over and pick it up. Why didn't you? So he said, because we're in the middle of learning, I didn't want to be mafsik. So the Chazon Ish told him, if there's something that's bederech ha'olam that a person should do, and it's not something asur, it's something that's miteva ha'olam that you should do at that moment, he says that's considered Torah as well. It's not considered bitun Torah. He says, bend over and pick up the tablecloth. Yeah. He says, that's not bitul Torah. That was the Lashon. Ze lo bitul Torah, ze Torah. It's a big yesod. I think it's a very, very deep yesod. Again, if it's not asur, and it's something that the family needs, it's part, I'm not going to say that's Talmud Torah, but that is Torah. That's the Tachlit. I take my kids to amusement parks and whatever, stand on lines. I remember we were in a few years ago it was winter break. We were there at Disneyland. I don't remember what it was, but we were standing on lines. And I was doing the daf. I did four or five chazarot, on the lines, whatever. Do your kids not like wonder why it's not moving? No, they get it. When they want to schmooze, we schmooze. When it's time to go on the ride, we go on the ride. And if we're not doing anything, so I learn. You know what I'm saying? It's just, be normal. That's Torah. Be a normal, good, sensitive, loving father, husband, son, sibling. I'm coming.
Does Rebbe recommend going to these like kosher Passover restaurants that like
at a blink of an eye become kosher Passover, and like, I don't know, like one day like they're serving pizza, the next day like, oh, matzah pizza.
I mean, any kosher Pesach restaurant under a reliable hashgacha has to have been kosher v'chule v'chule, you know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't exactly call it a blink of an eye, but yes, kashrut in general is complicated. Kashrut on Pesach becomes more complicated. So, you know, asik hachokhmatecha, speak to the mashgiach, whatever. I'm not going to say good, bad, or whatever. It is what it is. Let him ask a question. Go ahead.
So Saturday night, there's this man to make chatzot for the afikoman, right? What's more important, to like make this man have like a stressed out rush Seder, or more benachat but potentially miss the zman of afikoman?
It's a good shaila. You know, there are many. Is it better to have a stressed, quicker, maybe less kavana Seder, rushed Seder, but reaching chatzot, versus a little bit more drawn out and chilled and missing chatzot? Now you should know that there's a bunch of halachot that chatzot has to do with. Afikoman, kriyat ha'alel, the four kosot. Halel, ledat maran tachon v'bracha, after chatzot you cannot say the bracha on halel anymore. So there's a lot of things you have to keep in mind. Is it the worst thing in the world? No. Is it better to tov me'at b'chavana me'arbe shelo b'chavana? Sometimes these long, drawn-out, chilled-out tzedarim, there's a lot of laughing and joking. You know what I'm saying? So if you like folk, this year especially, when Shabbat ends, you know, it's Motzai Shabbat, and you have to wait for Shabbat to end, to do melacha, and to be Motzai, ooh. It's possible to do, stay calm, but stay focused, and do what you got to do. And if you don't make chatzot, you don't make chatzot, mana asot. No. Halachot.
Yeah. Is there an issue with going to a like a regular supermarket and buying like non-chametz items on Chol HaMoed Pesach, even if it's like a sealed item, even if the item itself is not chametz, there's like a lot of like chametz around it and like things of that nature?
Yeah. I mean, you're not allowed to buy chametz, obviously. If you're going to a bakery, like a non-Jewish supermarket that has a bakery and stuff, you're not allowed to have hana'a from the smell of the chametz. You go in, do your shopping, get your stuff, and leave. Yeah. You are allowed to go into a Costco, you can go into a Trader Joe's or whatever, get the kosher Pesach stuff and bends.
Everything you have sure?
No.
Water?
No. Well, I mean, check the guides, you know what I'm saying? Everything's on the guides. I'm on the checks. Huh? Some. The ones with the minerals are okay. Tov. Laila tov, chavra. This was pretty good.